Good morning, good morning. Feels like it's ages since we've been here. I've missed a month of my life, that's how it feels like. I've been in hospital for 2 weeks, then away for 2 weeks. I popped into work this week for a bit, and I still thought it was September. It's a bit weird. Realising it was October. So we've been away over to California again. And we met up with Andy and Rosie. And we went to a conference in Reading. That wasn't particularly our intent, but there happened to be one there, so we went. It was fun. It always is. And we had a pretty good week there. And then we drove down, and we'll talk about that in a minute, because I'll ask Gunilla to join me, to San Jose, where we went into the conference with Transform Our World, which was pretty intense. We'd be there at 7 in the morning for morning prayer, 8 o'clock devotions, and you'd finish just before 10 at night. And you might think you get breaks, but you don't. Because in the breaks, you had to meet with people and do stuff. So it was a very long day, and that was 4 days of conference. But it was good. It was really, really good meeting some incredible people. So ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And that's kind of what you see both at Bethel and in the conference. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." Do you believe that? We want to say yes. We know we ought to say yes, because Jesus said it. So if Jesus said it, then it's something we ought to be doing. And when we think of what Jesus did, stilled storms, raised the dead, healed the sick, all in fact said all who came to him, and says, "Greater works than these will you do?" And when the disciples were with Jesus in the boat and he was asleep and there was a storm raging, and they woke him up and he stilled the storm and he said, "You have little faith." And they'd just seen some things. And why? Because he expected them to still the storm. He expected them to still the storm. But there we go. We're going to talk about that. But we'll talk about the trip a little bit, and I'll ask Gunilla to come up because she can jump in and interrupt me, which is okay. So for those of you who know him, is Andy and Rosie, and they left the church over 27 years ago. That makes me feel old. 27 years ago to go married with a mission, kids there in Tyler, Texas, and they've lived in Texas ever since, and their daughters have grown up, married, and got kids there. And they asked us, next time we go to the States and go to Bethel, they'd love to come with us. So we said, we'll fly into Oakland. You meet us at Oakland. They got there a good bit earlier than we did, because our flight lands in the afternoon. And then you have a kind of 4 or 5 hour drive up to Reading. It was so good handing the keys to Andy and saying, "You drive." And Gunilla and Rose were in the back seat making sandwiches while we were driving up to Reading. And they send their love. And that's to be remembered to you, those of you who know. And it was a joy for us to be with them. That there is, we're at Bethel in front of the prayer house, Alabaster House, which is a 24-hour prayer house that's available. It's really beautiful, actually. Mm. And you can see the sun was shining. Hence me wearing a hat to stop it shining on my head. It's an interesting place, the prayer house. Then we took a little road trip, and Andy did quite a bit of the driving. So over in the top corner, we drove across from Reading, over the mountains, and we went going through Weaverville, which is where Bill started his church life, and had lunch in Weaverville, drove out of Weaverville, going onto the coast towards Eureka, and we got partway there, and then there was traffic blocking the road, and a guy comes and says, "The road will be closed for several hours. We suggest you go back and go over the mountain to Fortuna." Well, we were booked into Fortuna for a hotel because Andy had done that. So we thought, that's kind of cool, until you realised it was nearly an hour back to where the road to Fortuna took off. And the road to Fortuna went over a mountain. And then you realised that the road going over the mountain was crumbling away at the edges. And it said four-wheel drives only. And the drop was 2,000 or 3,000 feet down the side of the road. And Andy was driving. And a couple of times Rosie said, "Slow down, Andy." And we came through the twisty mountains to that view,
wow,
the Pacific Ocean. So that was our first view of the Pacific Ocean. And they've got lots of pictures. I'm not going to show them to you. Gunnar had to paddle.
I had to paddle. It was icy cold.
Gunnar has to paddle in the ocean. And then we drove from Fortuna through the Redwood Forest. Mm. And just here, that's a pickup truck. That's an American pickup truck, which are the size of a house usually, the pickup, American pickup trucks. They are seriously big. And that helped to give a bit of dimension to the trees. There was the one tree that was... You tell them about the forest because you love it.
I just had to go and walk. It's like being in the greatest cathedral that you can imagine. And really, for me, being in nature, it's where I can really sense God. And it was just awesome, awesome. And went and just looked for... We didn't go to that one tree... The one that's fallen over,
the one that you used to be able to drive through,
because that was a bit of a detour. So we'd done enough of detours already, I think. So we didn't do that, but it was just awesome. Yeah. I'm so glad we went.
And you love it because we got down very close to the beach, and there's signs there saying tsunami area and stuff like that. You know, just cheery things, earthquake and tsunamis. You know, it just says that all the way along there, which is kind of fun. It was really windy. We got out the car and the wind ripped the door out of Gunilla's hand and actually busted one of the hinge brackets. It was so strong. It was okay. My company didn't care. So it was kind of fun, but Gunilla still had to go paddling, even though it was like that. We thought, well, that was a pretty tortuous drive over the mountain roads. And then we did the next day, and guess what? It was more of the same. And on the Sunday morning, we went through a little place called Ferndale. There was nowhere to go to church, but it was good. And then we turned on this road to go up the coast, and it said, four-wheel drives only, make sure you have chains available. And it was probably narrower and twistier and higher than the road we did the first day. And I haven't got pictures, but it would have been fun. We got to pretty much the top of this mountain, realizing our fuel was getting a bit low. I thought, how far have we got to go? And we come to this place... I don't know what it was called. No. But it was just a building, post office, general store, at the top of the mountain. And we thought, I remember the film Deliverance. You think, do we get out of the car? Because these folks sitting around there, there's a guy about this big wearing a dress, because it's probably the only thing that fit him, playing a guitar, and a couple of people sitting around, and they all look like incredible hillbillies. But we were desperate for the loo, and so we thought, well, they must have a restroom inside. They don't have toilets in America, by the way. They have restrooms. And they were really nice, actually. Have some coffee, use the restroom. He said, what about, where's the nearest place to buy fuel? He said, I'll pump some for you. He had a massive, great tank. It cost us a bit more, but it was a really, really old-fashioned hand-crank pump. So we got 4 gallons of gas from there. And then we go round the corner, and there's a bridge in front of you. And it's a metal construction on the top, and it's going over a 400-foot gulch, and it's wooden. Two wooden planks going across that you have to drive across. They're about this wide, two planks this wide to drive across. You have to drive. So we drove back and drove back to take a picture just for the fun of it, you know. And then we drove over the mountain. And the next day we went down to Santa Rosa, which we'll come back to. That's not Santa Rosa, we'll come back to that. And that was Monday night, and we...
Sunday night.
We slept the night, and the internet and the TV went down, and we thought it was a bit strange. So we had no news, no connection with anything. We came out of the hotel in the morning to drive across the bridge, and that was our way back across the bridge, actually, the Golden Gate Bridge, to take Andy and Rosie to the airport in San Francisco, which is a two-hour drive from Santa Rosa. And we noticed there's a bit of ash on the car, a bit of smell of smoke in the air, but you get forest fires and stuff, so... kind of what we thought. So we drove down to San Francisco, drove all the way back to this place, which is Bodega Bay, which is by Santa Rosa. And we get to the hotel. I said, I've got a room booked. He said, I hope you have. I said, well, we've just driven down. He says, are you crazy? We said, what? She said, the village is full of evacuees because Santa Rosa's burning. 5,500 properties burned. 40 people died. We were just so unaware of it. There were people standing around us in T-shirts and shorts. That's it. They said they banged on our door 1 o'clock in the morning and said, get out. And 10 minutes later, the house was gone. Everything. So strong was the fire raging. We were completely unaware. But we get to this place, Bodega Bay.
Beautiful. Okay.
Which is really beautiful, and it's a bit hazy because of the smoke, actually, as much as it is anything else. And while we were there, there was an earthquake in San Jose, which was where we were going.
So only
a small one, 4.8, you know, which made the roads ripple a bit and stuff. But it kind of added to the adventure. So Gunnar had a day here, and she had to go paddling again in the sea. There were surfers out as well there. I've got lots of pictures for others who want to see them. And then we drove back down to San Jose, avoiding the Golden Gate Bridge the second time, going a different way. Warned by an angel, they went back another way. Right. And we get to San Jose, and this is our team. This is our team. Not all of the team. These are folks that were there. Let me just hold the mic with it. So this is Lord Way, Nat. So he's the guy I work with, the House of Lords. His wife, just above him there, Cynthia, Lady Cynthia, if you want to be. Young Micah, who had a birthday that day, or the day before, I can't remember, he's nine. Ethan, that's their boys. And then, a bald-headed geezer on the end. Then Rebecca and Tori and Rachel Milano with the sunglasses. Now, she's the girl in Bristol who's doing amazing things. At the front here is Riker, who is fiancé to Caesar, who is at the back. Caesar Augustus. He's from the Philippines. And the only time we've ever seen Caesar is when we do conference calls and we see his face on the little screen. And I was texting him saying where we were sitting, and he walks in. I thought, he's big. He's 6'1", and he's quite a big lad. He's a big lad. I was expecting a small Filipino dude. So he's engaged to Riker here. So, and Tori, who is the smiley one between Rachel and Rebecca, is married to Mikey. This was an awesome moment here. I'll come back to that in a second. Then Sheena, she's an abdominal surgeon, so I thought I'd get checked out while I'm there. It's all right. And Guy, and they're from Bristol. Some of them from Bristol, some of them from London. There's more in the Bristol team, but the London team are there. Sheena gets such favour from God. She prays in Parliament. She was invited to the Australian Parliament to pray with ministers. She's been to Finland. She's been to different places in the world. She's a surgeon, and she gets invited to go around the world praying with politicians and speaking into their lives. Lovely, lovely lady. Why is Mikey creased up there? We just got to have prayer huddle before this picture, just praying for one another. And the Holy Spirit just fell on Mikey, and he was just absolutely doubled up. And he was laughing, and he leans into Caesar, crashes into Caesar's chest, and Caesar's 6 foot something, and he's standing there like a statue, and there's just tears streaming down. So Mikey's crippled over laughing, and Caesar's just tears flowing. It was the funniest thing. So we all just gathered round them to take the picture because they couldn't move. They were just so caught up in the Holy Spirit. For about 15 or 20 minutes, they were like that. Because Mikey's an awesome, fun character. So that's the team that was in San Jose, and that's on the steps of the Church Jubilee Center, which is a pretty big place, I'd have to say. But it was good. It was a really good time that we had with the team. Lots of team bonding. So most of the team stayed in two Airbnb houses and met at one house. And Nat took us out to a Chinese dumpling restaurant on day one, which was fun. Although we had to get back for a prayer meeting. We had just... we hadn't bought the food package. It's pretty expensive at the conference, so we didn't do it this year. We still had quite a few meals provided for us, which is kind of fun. There's one day we're just going to go and get some coffee, and Gunnar was just standing by and getting some coffee. Pumpkin spiced latte. There you go, because it's seasoned. Very nice, actually. And the guy says, oh, I'll buy those for you. So Nat bought us lunch, then we got coffee, and then we got taken into the expensive lunch that we hadn't paid for on another day. And then on Friday, Ed Silvo says, I want the team, key parts of the team in. So we were invited into the lunch the next day as well. So we had free lunch 3 days on ago. And we sat around the table with Ed and Ruth and the team. Lauren Cunningham was there. Bill Johnson was there. John Arnott was there. Pretty awesome. Don't you have any reflections you want to make before we move on to the next slide?
Were you thinking about sort of what we heard?
Well, generally what we heard in testimony.
Actually, when we were singing the song there about the truth sets us free, or when Jesus sets us free, we are free indeed. That made me really think of one of the devotions when that was sort of quoted. I can't think who did it now. There's so many speakers, and they just...
Oh, that was from Brian from Brantford in Canada.
Oh, right. And so he came and said, "That's a lie." And we all looked at him, you know, what? Huh?
What, the truth has set you free? That's a lie.
That's a lie. And then he went on to sort of say that, well, actually, when you read all of it, it's actually, if you keep my commandments, you will know
then
the truth.
Then you'll know the truth.
Maybe. And the truth will set you free. And so often, don't we? I can see that Caroline is nodding. We quote these things just half, and actually we need to take the whole truth. One of the big things for me was that with this ecclesia talking about that actually it's all centered and anchored in the family. And so often when I hear about those kind of things, I feel a real failure, and I think, oh my Lord, you know, my family is a bit, you know, the boys aren't walking with the Lord and all those things. But it was really. I really felt sort of the Lord sort of saying, well, particularly when one of the guys from Hawaii was talking about how things had changed in the Polynesian culture, well, or, you know, the people that they were ministering to, a lot about family. Because in the Polynesian culture, it was very much that, you know, the way you hold the household together is actually through violence. A lot of domestic violence, and you know, you keep the children in check by hitting them and stuff like that. And the teaching that had come to them was really changing the families and the culture there. And he was talking about, he said, you do everything as to the Lord, to honor him. So he said, so I get the frying pan out and I fry for the Lord, I pray over the food, we pray over the food, and... don't necessarily need to say things to people, but actually they just know that the anointing comes on to things and things change. People are changing. That sort of was quite impacting on me. There were just so many things. Definitely. So many things going on. Just the fact that, like we started, ordinary people doing extraordinary things because it's the Holy Spirit at work through us. When we say, okay, Lord, I'll do what you say. I think, again, they're quite awesome, but you might talk a bit more about the taxi driver who and how things changed there.
Yeah, let me talk about... the testimonies are endless, and you can go on the Transform Our World website and start looking at some of the videos and stuff. They're great. But we meet these people. We actually go up, and you give them a hug, and you can talk to them, and actually... they're just ordinary folks. They're not superheroes, although there was a suggestion they ought to make a Hollywood movie about Juarez and our friend Poncho. But Gregorio, he comes from a part of a town called Rosario in Argentina, and it's Las Flores. And more than 50% of the people were unemployed, and those who were on it were employed were generally employed for less than 16 hours a week. So the poverty levels were incredible. And there's lots of drug dealing going on, buildings wrecked, no infrastructure, an absolute horrendous place. And Gregorio is a taxi driver who knows the Lord. And he decides when it came to a point where there was a political office becoming available, that's kind of like, not quite a mayor, but a bit like a mayor for that neighborhood, he would stand for election, and he got in. And then he saw his office... in what was the high street, which I can assure you didn't look like a high street. It was just a slum, dirty road. And there's this door, two windows either side with iron bars on, no glass in the windows, no door on the door. The building was ramshackle. The inside of it was derelict. So that was his office. And so they went in and they painted it and fixed it up, and he just begins to pray. And he prays in the streets and he dedicates the place to God. And he gets more prayer support, and his pastor, Aldo Martin, he phones him one day and says, "Aldo, you'd never guess who's in my office." And he starts going this, and it's the state senators come and saying, "What do you need?" And days go by, Aldo, you'd never guess who's in my office. And he keeps going through all these people until Aldo says, not the president this time, is it? He said, no, but it's the Minister for Defence has come. And he said, what do you need? And the Minister of Defence really acted on it and brought in the army, and they destroyed all of the drug houses. The army arrested all of the drug dealers. They literally destroyed with diggers and bulldozers all the drug houses. And then the army laid roads. We're 10 years on from when he started praying, Mr. Taxi Driver, Gregoria, very unassuming looking guy. 10 years later, there's a new hospital, a new school, 1,400 high-rises been built, a new port, which is 8 kilometres long. It's the biggest port in South America. It's now a tourist resort. Yes, this is Las Flores, where 50% were unemployed, where people were on drugs, where there was poverty, where there was no housing. Prayer changes things. But who was at the centre? A taxi driver who said, enough. Yeah, keep that door closed, it's cold. And but a taxi driver who just believed God. And as he prayed, he got extraordinary favour from officials and from government. And because he stood up there and said, it should be different, God worked on his behalf. And the town, it's unrecognisable. It's just unrecognisable. From derelict buildings and no roads to a modern, prosperous city where tourists go. It's got the best conference centre in South America. It's got the biggest port in South America. It's got the biggest sugar cane processing plant in South America. Because the favour of God comes because a humble taxi driver prays and gets others to pray with him. That should encourage you to believe that you can change things. Another thing that was happening there, and I'll let Gunilla say anything she wants to me, touched my heart massively, because the Transform Our World, we're just starting a new movement into Chicago. And the guy who's been there for a while as part of our organization is a Franciscan friar called Father Dimitri. Yes, he's a Catholic. He did a devotion one morning, I think it was Friday morning, at 8 o'clock, and Bill Johnson, I really honour Bill, he was there to speak at the conference. He was there from 8 o'clock till the end of play, pretty much every day, and his wife, listening to everybody else. He didn't just come in to do his sessions. He came in, and he said, I would never have thought I would have had my life rocked by a Catholic priest preaching on fire. And this guy preaches so fiery, he's just quite... small chap is Dimitri. I've met him, I've spent time with him in London. He's lovely, I love him to bits. And he's on fire. But they're starting this work in Chicago, and we've been praying for that over the last month or two, particularly as they're having significant meetings. And God has just incredibly brought together the churches. Most of the black churches there, coming to, they all used to be doing their own thing, being very disparate, and no unity in the church. And yet, I think Chicago is currently the murder capital of the U.S. It's just terrible. The violence is horrendous. And yet they have some of the strongest gun laws in Chicago, but the worst murder rates. So the churches are deciding to come together so they can pray. And the Lord has just brought some incredible people together, and they all came down to the conference. And there was such reconciliation, such forgiveness, such unity coming, such a desire to see something happen. That when they know when they stand together and start to pray together, something will change in Chicago. And I think we're all saying that next year's conference will know, we'll have strong testimony coming out of Chicago already of the things that will have happened. And it, for me, it was an incredible joy watching the unity there. It gave me goosebumps. So you had all these pretty high up black church leaders. One of them is president of 12,000 Pentecostal churches. Not just in Chicago, so that's across the nation, but he's in Chicago. And we had First Nations people. You know what I mean by First Nations, don't you? So it used to be cowboys and Indians in my day when we were kids, but the Indians. And they've been badly treated, and there was repentance and healing and things coming there. And Ed stood before them asking for forgiveness on behalf of the white population. And all this going on, And then to seal it all, a Jewish rabbi stands up at the end and sings a blessing over it. And to hear a Jewish rabbi saying, "And here we stand in the name of Yeshua, our Saviour, Jesus Christ." And he's got his rabbi's kit on and he sings a blessing. I was just goosebumps as he sung in Hebrew a blessing over us. And he says, "And those of you who want to connect with your Jewish roots and celebrate the festivals, I shall be holding circumcisions after the event." So
I don't think anybody took him up.
No, I don't think anybody took him up.
But I think that is one of the really powerful things we've seen in actually lots of different places where we've been. There is definitely something God is doing at the moment with that reconciliation, forgiveness. I mean, people were actually kneeling before each other and asking forgiveness and giving forgiveness. And a bit later on, it was a different day, wasn't it, when the same thing happened between the generations. So the older and the actually we surrounded all the youngsters, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we prayed for one another and asking forgiveness where things have been separated, where we're not looking at each other, just looking with judgment instead of love. And that was very powerful.
Yeah, which was good because there were lots of youngsters at the conference as well. So, and finally, Dan, they were talking about the stuff going on in. I mean, we could go on and on and on with testimonies. But Danny Kim, who promised us a year ago an app called Adopt Your City so you can pray and have it on Android, he's done it. So you could go to the Play Store now and download the Adopt Your City app. There it is. And it's going to find me in a second. And you can then start praying and it'll record your prayers. You can set up events. So I'd like the Lighthouse staff, when they go around praying for schools, to do it. And it'll mark where they've walked around the schools and prayed. I would love for everybody to download that app. It will download for an Android phone or for an iPhone. The reason they had a problem with it and developing it, and we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars to develop this, which has all just been donated, is because it had the original app couldn't cope with the billions of downloads it was getting for prayer requests from all over the world, because it covers the world. But it means that you can zoom in anywhere on the world and see who's been praying. You can put testimonies on. It'll record how long you've been praying. You can put up your own prayer targets. You can walk down the street and it will track you along the street as you walk, and that prayer will be recorded. And you can then say what you were praying for if you want to, or you can just record that you were praying. But how encouraging it is if you look on your app and say, somebody's been praying in my street, somebody's been praying in my university, in my school, in my job place. I would really encourage you to do that and take it seriously, because a lot of the testimony and miracles we've had are because people have adopted a town, a street, a neighborhood. Adopt your city. Adopt your city, and it's available, and you can use it. I would just encourage you, because we do some prayer walking from here, but I want to encourage you. I mean, one of the testimonies came, was it Jacksonville or Newark? Doesn't matter, really. And they said, we just said to our church, pray for the five houses on your left and the five houses on your right and the houses opposite. And I guarantee if you pray and every day just say, Lord, I just speak a blessing over these people. Just speak peace over the neighborhood. You will find the atmosphere of the neighborhood change and things start to happen. That's where it starts. That's where all this city transformation starts, as people start praying. And there's a tool that'll encourage you and help you to pray. You don't have to set a target. I'm going to pray 57 hours this week or something like that. You don't have to do that. You can just pray. And when you pray, just press the button that says start praying. And somebody else will see that and be encouraged. And think, oh, I was praying there as well, or I was praying for that. So I'm hoping that when the Lighthouse team go praying around schools, we can get them to put that in and use the app. And then we can all. And then when they go into prayer around schools, they could post it as an event. And anybody who's got the app will know. And you can actually say, yeah, praying with you, and join in. How encouraging is that? So I really, really, really encourage you to now it's there. It did. Danny apologized that it took him over a year to get it, but it's because it was so successful, it was crashing. It's got more function. I haven't investigated all the functions it'll do, but you can do things with it. So please do that, because it is about prayer. And it's how that's going. So Jesus is looking for your yes. Come on, that's it, here we go. That's a big thing. I mean, before we went to America, we did a couple of days conference in Milton Keynes and met some lovely people, some from Bethel and some from here. And something came out of that that then we bumped into again when we're in San Jose, which is amazing that you hear the same things. But Jesus wants your yes. That's all he wants, is you to say, yes, Lord, I'll do this. Yes, Lord. These signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. And we know that he says a lot more than that. That's Mark. And in Acts, they even carried the sick people into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. And people were getting healed when he walked past them. Peter, just a fisherman. Also, people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. It's time for us to start believing that's who we're meant to be. This is what God wants to do in our day, and we're ready to say a yes to God. Whatever it costs, whatever it means for us, I know for us that's what our journey we've been on now for the last couple of years, I guess. And the Lord's taking us to amazing places. I'm still staggered for what happens. I mean, how I feel amazingly affirmed, and it's okay to feel affirmed, you know, it's a need of the soul. But when we were at Bethel this time, there were Bethel pastors seeking me out, wanting to come and talk to me. There were students from the school saying, we wanted to meet you. We're so honored to meet you. Can we pray for you? And just giving us words of encouragement and praying for us. And it's like, how do they know who I am? We actually got an involuntary hug from Bill, which just made my day. That was just really lovely. He came up and gave us a hug. And just the journey we've been on in the last couple of years has been amazing. So do we believe that what Jesus says is true? And do we receive the testimony we can see in the world? Not just in Jesus' time, but today. Today. Today, today. In San Jose, we had about 30 nations represented. And they were calling them out in different groups. Russian Federation. Huge group from the Russian Federation. Ukraine. Oh, I just forget all the nations. And then somebody called out Iraq. One guy stood up from Iraq. Do you understand what a miracle it would be for a guy, an Arab from Iraq, to get a visa to get in to America? This one guy stood. The place went ballistic, absolutely ballistic. I think he should have felt massively honoured, because it was just, but Iraq, God's at work. And he got into the conference. It was just fantastic. But there were places I don't think I'd even heard of. Some Pacific islands and places, just amazing. So 30 nations there. God is at work around the world, and God is at work here in the UK. Our team testifies to that, because there's stuff going on, and we'll be lighting that up some more and seeing that spread. So already we want to consolidate the work that's in Bristol and link that to the work that's going on in Sunderland. Sunderland's feels a long way away, but God is doing good things there. And already Manchester is warming up. Jesus Culture have started a church there, and they're very keen to work with the team, what we have. And we're just hearing things from Liverpool, that God is already warming up Liverpool and starting there. So we're very excited about those things. And to that end, I'm trying to release more of my time from the work I do in Horsham, so I can actually do more travelling around in the country to work with them. The power of testimony is huge. It's just huge. It's interesting. I'd written that down. Then Bill, we listened to a message we'd missed while we were away of Bill's, and that's what he was talking about, the power of testimony being really strong. And there was one where there was a mum had got a boy who was lactose intolerant and wheat intolerant and dairy intolerant, whatever it was, and he was also autistic. And they'd had a testimony. Somebody had been healed of the wheat and dairy intolerance. So the mum stood up for her son and they prayed, and then she took him straight to a pizza restaurant. That's faith. Dairy and wheat, and he ate. And then they discovered his autism had also gone. Just the power of the testimony. Just the power of the testimony. Kids with clubbed feet healed by the power of the testimony. I think when Bill stood up one day in San Jose, so I think 2,500 in the auditorium, 3,000? I don't know, 2,500, because we filled most of the bottom half of it in the auditorium. There were probably 500 people got a healing miracle. Yes, that's today, people getting healed. Testimony is a spirit of prophecy, and prophecy is declaring either the future, either by foreseeing it or either by declaring it to be so. So testimony is actually declaring what can be and will be. So when we see a testimony, you can rightfully take hold of it and say, that's mine. So if I talk about Gregorio the taxi driver, you can say, I could be that as well. We talk about Poncho in Juarez, taking over a prison and all kinds of stuff. That's you. That's your testimony as well. We talk about King Flores in the Philippines, who's discipled 4 consecutive presidents. That's your testimony as well. We talk about the ice cream lady who's 71 this year, who led 700 people to the Lord in year one, selling ice creams. Only 700. And disciples the mayor and other people. That's your testimony too. Power of testimony is enormous. God's word, whenever God speaks a word, his word always comes with the power to fulfill itself. I'm going to go on to the challenge. Keep an eye on the time. Because this is the bit that came to us in Milton Keynes and then came to us again when we're in San Jose. And it's Ezekiel 47, and I've had to shorten it a bit and miss some bits out because it's a long bit. It's about the river of God. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because Jesus says, come and drink. So when we come to Jesus and drink, what happens to that drink that we have from Jesus? It turns into a, what does he say? From your innermost being will flow rivers. Rivers. You have a drink, Jesus will turn it into a river of living water. Think about that. Yeah, you, ordinary person. Jesus says, come and drink of me, and from your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Ezekiel saw this river. Then he brought me back to the door of the house. So this is the house of God, the temple of God. And behold, water was flowing from under the threshold. So there's water coming out from under the door of the house towards the east. So the river's flowing towards the east. The house faced towards the east, so towards the sunrise. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house and from the south of the altar. So it's coming from the altar of God, coming from Jesus in effect. He brought me out by way of the north gate. I've had to shorten it here. By way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. And when the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. 1,000 cubits, cubits, length of your arm. So 1,000 of those, whatever that is. 1,500 feet or something like that. And he measures out from 1,000 cubits. He led me through the water, reaching to your ankles. Are you okay? You're in the water now. So you're in the river of God. You're in the water. You're up to your ankles. How does that feel? It's okay. It's quite pleasant, isn't it? Water tickling around your toes like Gunilla and dipping her feet in the Pacific. Might have been cold, but it's safe. You can stand up, can't you? It's okay. It's all right. He led me through the water, reaching to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it reached my knees. That's quite nice. You might have some fishes swimming past your knees or something, and the waters, you can feel the flow of the water. It's quite inviting. We can do that in Sweden. We can walk out into the water, and it's very pleasant. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, reaching to my loins. So we're up to here now. So you begin to feel the water power a bit. It's still quite safe. You feel safe? You feel safe in that water? Yeah, it's okay, isn't it? Might feel quite nice. Very pleasant. Feeling the sun coming up, yeah, rising on the east. Feel the water. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits in the river. It was a river I could not ford. Aha. For the water had risen enough for the water to swim in a river that could not be forded. We can't cross this river. And we actually got to swim. How do you feel now? Because the water feels like it's picking up pace a bit. The flow of the water is a bit quicker here, isn't it, now? And actually, my feet can't touch the bottom now. So I'm actually caught in the water. How do you feel? Do you want to go back to where you were knee-deep? Or do you want to play in the shallows, watching the fishes tickle your toes? River that can't be passed. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Have you seen this? By the river and on its banks, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because of their water flows from the sanctuary, and there will be fruit for food and their leaves will be healing. And in Revelation it talks about that, and it says, there he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, either side of the river, was a river, a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Jesus said, go into all the world and disciple the nations. Where are you going to find the healing for the nations? From the fruit that is alongside the banks of the river. Are you in the river? Where are you observing it from? We might get a chance to do a meditation on that. Teresa Liebscher did one. I just found it life-changing. Absolutely life-changing. Because I was in the river and in the meditation, we were in it for about an hour. So that's a piece of scripture, about an hour. And I could see logs coming down, and I'm in this river, and there's a log hurtling along the river. And I just thought, oh, now what am I going to do? And I felt an angel push me under the water, so the log went over the top. And now I'm in underwater with an angel, now saying, I need to surface or I'll die. And the angel went, and? Will you say yes to God? I died in that river. And then a host of angels pulled me out. It was facing east towards the rising sun. And they pulled me out, and I was shining like the sun, brighter than the sun. My feet were skipping along the river until it was cascading over endless waterfall. And there the angels held me. And Jesus says, you're the light of the world. Are you shining? Have you said yes to Jesus? Have you seen it? The prize is huge. The prize is absolutely huge. Because you become like what you worship. By this love is perfected in us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, this is risen Jesus. This is risen Jesus enthroned in glory. As he is, so also are we in the world. You are the light of the world. I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go, if I don't go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus, when he was still on the earth, was a man. We could become like what we worship. He said, I'm going to go away, so what you worship is more glorious. Because you're going to become like what you worship, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you so you can become like me. So he talks to the Holy Spirit saying, he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit is there to take from our risen, glorified, glorious Savior and reveal it to you. That when he says arise and shine, not arise and reflect, he says arise and shine because you are the light of the world, because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Have you said yes to Jesus? Are you ready to abandon yourself to the river that flows from Jesus? to take a drink from him and let yourself go into that river.
Say that to say yes doesn't mean that you're going to be traveling all over the world or do those kind of things. Made me think of the taxi driver. He stayed where he was. Well, okay, he was traveling now, but he'd come to see him. But he changed his place where he was through the Lord working through him.
Yeah.
And he said yes.
And you're all amazing people. You're born again of the Spirit of God. He says to you, arise, shine. Have you seen the river? Do you know it's okay if you want to get your feet wet and you feel safe there, but get in the river. It's okay if you then feel brave enough to paddle out a bit and feel the power of the river. Stay there a while and feel the joy of the river flowing over you. It's okay. It's okay if you want to go out till you're waist deep. It's okay. Just be in the river. And when you're ready, just go in the flow. But for me, when that angel, I said to the angel, but I'll die. And the angel said, yeah. That's what it meant. To abandon everything I have for him, for his glory. Because I want to see our nation changed. I want to see the world changed. And I've glimpsed it. It's possible. It's possible. We're seeing small nations impacted massively. Tahiti, Hawaii. It's not a nation in Hawaii, but Tahiti. Massive impact. I know there's issues in places like Uganda and the Philippines. We met the Minister of Health from Uganda. Met her. Christian lady praying, seeing huge changes in Uganda, changing the nation of Uganda. God is at work. God is at work. He wants your yes. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you are a good God. You are at work in this day and age. We don't have to look to history. We don't have to dream about some distant future when you return. But we can say, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, let it begin in me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We can do it not from striving, but finding rest in you. As we just come and worship you, as we just come and love you, just come and adore you. Just in abandonment of the joy of being in love with you. Come, Holy Spirit, and do your work in us. That we see Jesus receive the reward of his sufferings. Amen.